Fantasy Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. It is also a shout-out Friday from the 432. Shout-out to my wife Roxanna's team for winning state cross-country. Boom! Congratulations. And then Corey.
Which state?
I assumed this one, to be fair. I did not ask for clarification.
Right. Did she run through the red light?
I don't think
that. I can't remember the words of that song.
Roxanne! You don't have to turn off the red light.
That song is Roxanne. About her being a prostitute.
Oh, well, yeah. She's crap. A cross-country star, too, I guess. Yeah,
that's nope.
Shout out to the fan for having all the football you could possibly need this weekend.
How we do have a lot of football.
How am I supposed to transition out of that? Tonight, 8:30, Oklahoma State at number 13, BYU. Tomorrow, 6 o'clock, LSU at Arkansas. I think that's actually going to be a really good game. And then NFL doubleheader on Sunday, 11:30 pregame. And then you get Texans Packers followed by Raiders Rams. And we've got David Koechner coming in studio at about 12:20 today.
Dude, I'm excited about that.
But right now, I wanted to, you know, Mike, this is actually, this segment is because of you. And okay. I said it's not to spite you, and yeah. It's really not. But I've thought a lot about your discussion about essentially like breaking up with the Cowboys, for lack of a better explanation.
Right.
And so my question for the people out there, and then I'll give you my own answer as well. For all the scandals, insults, disappointing season ends, why do you still love the Cowboys? Because, you know, we've talked about it. Like, Jerry went on the attack against our guys and our station this week. And so a lot of people were saying, like, oh, I'm this and that. And I'm frustrated and I'm done. And I think I'm to the point, because it's sports and not like my real personal life, because I think you can cut off relationships with people in your real personal life. But since it's just sports, I thought about the fact that, like, I grew up loving the Cowboys. I learned about sports with my mom through the Cowboys and the Rangers. Me and Brandon, all throughout him growing up, have watched the Cowboys together. He still loves the Cowboys. You know, I know Noah doesn't really understand right now, but he's watching the games with us, and Jess has gotten into it more than maybe she was before. It's just, I've realized that the Cowboys are part of like my, almost like part of my family or part of my life. And I just don't think I'm probably ever going to be able to let go of that.
For me, real quick, it was not affecting me in a positive way at all.
I get it.
And so I was just like, you know what? I don't want to feel
fair
this way anymore. And then behind the scenes, I wasn't crazy about certain things, just won't be, you know, specific there. And I was like, it just doesn't, I don't want to feel this way anymore. So, you know, the apathy set in and I was like, you know what? I'm going to be all out, right? Yeah. I was like, I know Jerry Jones. I'm not trying to do a Jerry Jones thing, but all in. I decided I'm just all out. And I think my son was asking me, how could you get all in? He's like, if they get a different quarterback. And I'm like, Dak's not the issue for me. I mean, I don't think he's good enough. I think he's good. It's just that I said, if the Jones family sold the team, and I said, they're never going to. So I'm not going to be a Cowboys fan anymore.
This text right here, like, really sums it up for me, but I have a lot more to say. In the 806, I love the Cowboys because I got to witness them win 3 Super Bowls in my lifetime. I would like to see another one, of course, but that's getting greedy in Super Bowl world. A real fan through the good and the bad. I'll always root for the star because of the history of the franchise. It's a tough relationship, but I'm loyal. And I think that does have a lot to do with it. Kevin, I wore that Tony Dorsett outfit with the Hutch helmet until the elastic broke and everything. All right. Like, there was, you couldn't wear it anymore. And then beyond that, I kept wearing the jersey until I looked like Zeke with a crop top on. I loved that thing. I met Tony Dorsett, had a dinner with him as a 4-year-old kid. And all these things that, like, the times I ran into Cowboys players in my life and just had this great respect for what the Cowboys were. And those 3 Super Bowls definitely did it. It's like winning a Super Bowl early and then never winning one again. I feel like that's where I am, and I'm just kind of stuck in the, you know what, as a fan, part of it is going through the crap part of it. I don't like being treated like crap, though. And that's where, Kevin, I've been as loyal as I've been.
Sure.
And I'm pretty disgusted with what happened.
Okay. This week?
As a fan, as a fan of this team that I've been a fan since before they owned the team, I'm disgusted at that because the team's not performing.
Yeah.
They're the ones that need the hey, your job's on the line.
Yeah.
They're the ones that need the need for that owner to walk in there and raise some hell. Like I asked him about a couple weeks ago. That's where I feel that I'm disgusted that you were pointing a finger at the wrong place. And so for me, it's really tough right now because, as you know, I've been the most positive Cowboys fan at the station, along with probably Zach Wolchuk. But I'm so disgusted at how it went this week that it's going to be hard for me to feel that same loyalty in it right now. But I do love them because of history. So that, to answer your question, it's the history that I've had. It's the camaraderie that me and my friends built watching games and partying together, my family, and what we've always done together. So we live a lot off the nostalgia, though.
I think about, and this is probably too far back for some people, but when you were talking about the Super Bowls, I remember the 1990 season finale against, and that's, by the way, this is another reason I love working in this market. Like, it's work, but I would be watching the Cowboys games anyway. Like, if I had to go up to New York and, like, you have to watch a Giants game, I'd be like, ugh. But I remember the finale, the regular season finale in 1990, and Babe Laufenberg had to come in there, but you still had a chance to make the playoffs if you beat the Falcons. And I was at the age where I was, like, starting to really kind of understand the stakes and intricacies of sports, and we lost. It just felt like the most crushing defeat ever. And, like, you go on to realize, oh, my God, you're going to see so many worse defeats. But then 2 years later, like Corey mentioned, we were in the Super Bowl. And I kept thinking to myself as that run went on, we just have to make it to the Super Bowl. Because I just have to make it to the final game. And then, like, whether they win, whether they lose, well, there's no football next week either way.
Yeah.
But then...
Now you've settled for a championship game, haven't you?
And... That is factually accurate. But then the Cowboys, I think, fell behind in that game against Buffalo 7-0. And this panic came over me of...
What if they don't win it?
What if they don't win it? And it was such a weird... Like, I remember vividly, I was at our house. I was eating honey roasted peanuts when that, like, shocking thing came to me that... I don't know why I remember that, but I do. That, like, what if they lose... And so it's just been so entrenched in me, in my family, in my life. Like, we talk about this off air quite a bit. I can't imagine growing up somewhere where you just watch football on Thanksgiving because you like football, not because you're emotionally invested in one of the games of the day. Like, I know they've added the nighttime game and tried to spice it up and circle those teams around a little bit. But, like, our entire Thanksgiving, not just me, my entire family... Like, dinner is served, dessert is served. The function is planned around the Cowboys game every single year. And, like, they're just a part of my life to that degree that even when they just piss me off to no end, I'm always going to be a fan. Now, a lot of times that is very, very difficult, Mike, yeah. To your point.
You know, it's interesting because I love your approach. Like, I don't think that's bad at all. In fact, I think that's great. For me, this is going to sound really weird. For the Dallas Mavericks, only one championship. They don't have five. Nobody cares about the Dallas Mavericks.
True.
Now, we do. Here, we do. But they're not a national product. True. They're not ever going to be on ESPN as a major topic unless they've done something major in the sport. They're not going to talk about them unless they have to. That's the Knicks, the Lakers, the Celtics. Those are the kind of Dallas Cowboys of the NBA. But I take pride in liking a team that most people don't care about. Does that sound weird? The Stars, and the Mavericks are teams that people don't care about.
I definitely do, because it's like...
So I'm like, I'm a Mavericks fan. I feel like it makes me unique.
Because you love the indie band that hasn't made it just yet.
And so it's like, weird, I get like, that. Bob Schneider. As a Cowboys fan, there's so many Cowboy fans that it's like, you know, and let's be honest here. And it's probably not the majority, but the minority of the... the insane, crazy Cowboy fan attacks us so much for what we say.
Yeah.
And it's like, hey, just to be clear for you, I'm not part of you anymore. Like, that's really weird, but part of it is doing this job. Or, like, people at DallasCowboys.com who hate my guts, you know? And I'm like, I'm out. Like, I don't care that much. You guys think I care that? I do not care that much. Leave me alone, you know? But it's, they just, like, they get so over the top. I know that there's over-the-top Maverick fans, there's over-the-top Ranger fans, but there's so many more Cowboy fans, and they feel like there's so much more in your face.
Yeah.
That I'm like, I don't want that anymore. So in a weird way, this job has also kind of pushed me a little bit away just because, I don't know, as just a, I say common Cowboy fan, that's probably not the right terminology. You guys don't have to have the in-your-face other Cowboy fans not liking your opinion.
Yeah. Man, there is a lot of feedback.
There's plenty. By the way, I was a freshman in high school when they won their last Super Bowl. I graduated.
I was a senior.
I graduated in 1999. So I believe I was a freshman or sophomore.
Yep.
And I remember
freshman.
We had a band event, and I was ticked off because we had a band event where we had to go perform at somebody's house and they paid for it. And then we used that money for our band trip to go to like Disney World or something. Nashville.
Yeah,
I don't remember.
Yeah.
And I remember on the drive home, they're like, oh my gosh, Larry Brown. And I'm like, what's going on? And as soon as I walked in the door, it's halftime and I'm seeing the halftime show. And my dad's like, I think you may have missed the whole game, Corey. I'm sorry. And I was like, you're kidding me. So I had to go back like VHS it and rewind it and watch it and everything. That was an event like was the, and then Larry Brown, then Kevin. We've done shows with Larry Brown
yes.
and George Teague and all these Cowboys. And you remember that one day we sat there, it was the first time they really sent us out on the station. We sit there in AT&T and you said, hey, look around for a minute, man. Like, we didn't make it at that point, but we made it. Like, we're doing a show. Chad Hennings, Preston Pearson are coming on our show and talking with us. I get to sit down next to Nate Newton. Those are all things that I dreamt of as a kid. I dreamt of those things and those opportunities. And I get to do this stuff now, and I love it. I really do. But you know what? On Fridays, I get nauseous thinking about having to have that conversation every week. It's starting to get to a point where it gives me anxiety because I can't please everybody. I can't please the boss. I can't please the Tolos out there because I'm not asking tough enough questions for people. I'm like, how do I do this? How do I be a fan and also ask him questions that he's going to answer that are going to be fun, that are going to be good answers about football? I don't know how to do that. It frustrates me because then if I ask the wrong question the wrong way, I get in this situation that our morning show is in right now. I don't like that because I started out as a fan. That's all the only reason I wanted to come do this job.
You brought something up inside of me, too, that I forgot about. I don't feel like these players over the last, let's say, 15 to 20 years care about Cowboys history.
Oh, sure.
They think they are. They think they're the real Cowboys. And it's like, no, the real Cowboys are Lilly and White.
Wouldn't you make an argument
Staubach
that is an issue for other, like, iconic teams? Do you think that is an issue, or do you think that's a Cowboys-specific issue?
My wife asked me last night when she sat down to talk to me. She wasn't really caring about the Yankee game, but she's like, oh, so they still have all the same rules? And I'm like, yeah, they still have all the same rules. No facial hair. You can't have long hair. And they all respect it. And you don't hear them all complain. I remember, like, Jesse Holly or whoever it is, like, I can't believe these players take it. It's like, there's a history and a tradition with the Yankees that is followed. And if you don't want to be part of that history or tradition, you're gone. It doesn't matter who you are, how good of a player you are. There's a certain respect from that organization that you have to be a part of. And I'm just using the Yankees, for example, and they haven't won since 2009. But I don't feel like there's any respect. It's almost like they hate that there is a good history with the Cowboys. In a way, it's like, maybe Jerry Jones hates there's such a good history with the Dallas Cowboys.
You know, can I just say something here about the, when you walk into a door like that the fans are already built in. It's like those Cowboys that you're talking about, Mike, had to build it.
Yeah, they had 20,000 empty seats. When Aikman and Irvin showed up and Emmett, 20,000 empty seats a game in 89 and 90.
When you walk into a building like that and it's already built, you're like, I deserve this. Because you didn't have to earn that along the way. The fans are cheering for you. I deserve for that. And then you get a little frustrated because you don't realize why they're booing.
Yeah.
And so that's what I understand where you're going with that. Because those dudes were committed to a different thing than these players now. Now, they're still committed to trying winning, and they want to make the fans happy. But it's just, it's a lot different.
Now, as I said, there's an unbelievable amount of feedback here from the 214. It's just childhood brainwash. I get that. I do.
That might make sense, yeah.
I absolutely do. And from the 817, because I went to every Thanksgiving game with my grandpa growing up until he passed away. Like, it feels impossible to kind of break away from some of that. From the two, from the 817, I don't know how to love any other team. And I get that as
and
well.
And you won't.
Yeah. Yeah, now, absolutely.
Unless it's the Mavericks or Rangers and you already love that team, you just love them more.
Yes, absolutely.
But you're not, I don't love the Chiefs the way I loved the Cowboys.
Exactly. From the 817, I still love the team because I have the star tattooed on my face, so I'd look dumb if I didn't love them anymore. That's a fair point. If you're like,
star's just a shape.
Hey, do you love the Cowboys? And they'd be like, not really. Oh, but
I love space. This is representative of the star that I purchased in space. Right, Alec? That's how we get this done.
It's still there.
Love it.
You know what? I would like to do a future segment where people text in or call in and tell us what they redefine their tattoo meaning for. Because I bet we have a lot of listeners out there right now who have a tattoo that was for one thing. Now, whether it was a significant other or whatever else, and you had to change it. And you're like, when Johnny Depp changes Winona forever to Wino forever tattoo, like, those are the stories that I want to hear. We might have to pick that up at another time. Thank you very, very much for all the feedback on the YouTube, on the Twitch, on the fan text. That's just... it's unbelievable. And sorry, one more from the 469. Kevin, you just described Jerry Jones' business plan. Feed off your nostalgia. And another person said that Jerry Jones doesn't deserve another Super Bowl. Maybe so. But I know a lot of Cowboys fans who, like in the sports world, deserve it. Now, there are plenty of fans who, I get it, are obnoxious and all of that. But there are a lot of damn fine Cowboys fans who are just great people and they're great fans and they support through all the BS.
You're right.
They deserve it.
You're absolutely right about that.
Coming up next, the Washington Capitals, the new Boston soccer team, and still the Cowboys. Do any of these folks deserve Forgiveness Friday? Do you? 877-881-1053. Let's do it next right here on The Fan.
Steele gets his first of this season, his second point. Stars right back to work. They score again. Wyatt Johnston. Bang, bang.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. And that clip right there is why the Washington Capitals need to ask for forgiveness, because they took the perfection away of the Dallas Stars season. I know a lot of people will argue I need to ask for forgiveness for also being complicit in this process, even though I did not mean to be.
Will you?
I am very sorry that the Stars lost.
That you took part in it, right? Because right now, Kevin, it feels like I'm very sorry that you took it that way, is kind of what I'm dealing like. Doesn't that feel that way, Alec?
Yeah, it feels like you're kind of sliding us here.
It is a heavy burden, as I tell my wife, to know that you're going to be right before something actually happens.
See, this is what I'm talking about.
It's a heavy, heavy burden.
I'm done.
Okay, I'm going to get you back in on this segment.
I'd rather be right
then
than happy.
No, I've thought about that a lot, Mike. I have moved closer to the happy side, but that has been a big struggle in my life, and that is a very fair character flaw. Kirill Shevchenko, you brought this story up, I believe, on Wednesday. We have an update. This is the chess player that was just running off to the bathroom.
Yeah, yeah.
People were like, oh, is he feeling okay? And then other people were like, no, he's cheating, son of a gun. That is exactly.
Must have been the salmon.
They didn't use it in that terminology, but that is exactly what the Spanish enclave has decided, because he has been expelled from the Spanish Chess Federation for the usage of mobile devices during the playing of his matches. The Spanish Chess Federation, which for some reason is named FIDE, which you would think, like, if you're going acronym, that's not, you think SCF or something, but the Spanish Chess Federation, also known as FIDE, they said they are firm in their commitment against cheating in chess, acting in the strongest possible way in any case which it is detected. So he's out.
You imagine how many people type that into their search engine, and they were like, "Oh, a chess? That's not what I was looking for. I was looking for feet."
Okay, see, my guess was going to be relief efforts or saving animals.
Yeah.
But you took it in a different direction than I did not. Mike, go ahead.
Mike looks very confused.
You look like you have questions.
I feel like you could mess up chess with accidentally typing in cheese or something, but feet?
Feta.
Because it's feta.
Like feta cheese?
Yeah, with a D.
Yep.
Were you not listening to like the last 3 minutes of what we were talking about?
It's all good, Mike. I got something else I need to dive in on.
Yeah, let's go. What's next?
All right, Kevin, I did ask my wife last night because
we were talking about chess, and then he said feet.
The Spanish Chess Federation is called FIDA.
Adrian and Lucy were in Cleveland last night for the game-winning home run.
And I
texted. I was like, "Did you just hear a huge crash around it?" And she was like, "No, what's going on?" She did text me, and then it was like, "Oh, sirens all night." And I was like, "Because of the celebration stabbing."
Sure. Oh my God,
it's a joke, Kevin.
I meant the celebrations, not the stabbing part.
But
my dad was like, "Why don't you just call David Fry? I got his number." And I'm like, "I'm pretty sure he's busy getting ready for a game today."
That's how Mike and his dad interact.
The last time she was like Ubering back, I believe from Cleveland. We've had some weird Uber drivers in Cleveland. I had one dude who had a knife, like just sticking, like it was in his hip, and it was this weird, like it looked like a sword.
Crocodile Dundee.
She had one recently where she opened the trunk to put her bag in the back, and there was a dude that had like a doll and it had a chain around its neck or something.
I would have got the hell out of that.
She just texted me and said, "Should I cancel this?" And it says the guy reached out to her and said, "How many people do you have?" Because she's Ubering from the hospital to the airport. She said 2. And he said, "I'm using the restroom and I'm on my way." And she was like, "Should I cancel this? Would you cancel it if your Uber driver was like, 'Hey, I got to go to the restroom first, but then I'll be there.'"
When we were in New York, because those drivers, taxi cab drivers, I don't know if you can get Uber in New York. Maybe you can, but mostly it's taxis, right? He pulled off to the side of the road, but it's like a major road, hit the trunk button, pulled it up so he could be somewhat protected from us, and just started whizzing on the street.
See?
But I think he had to go to the restroom, and then I was like, it makes sense. Like, I don't know he's supposed to stop in New York and go to the bathroom. So he just decided, I'll pull off on the side of this. Side part of the highway.
What is that thing called? Not median, but the other part.
Yeah, the median's in the middle.
What's that called, Kevin?
Why am I drawing
the shoulder?
The shoulder.
Shoulder.
Yeah, just whizzed on the shoulder.
That's good.
That sounds so much worse than the context.
And then he got back in and kept driving us, but he had to go potty.
Hey,
were you like, is that guy?
I got to tell Adrian that.
Yeah, I didn't know what he was doing, but then my wife saw. She was like, "Oh, he's whizzing." She doesn't say that. She says peeing.
All right.
We're not supposed to say that.
I don't know where to go from there. So.
Well, I just was asking, does that Uber driver need forgiveness? She did end up canceling it, though.
I think your wife needs forgiveness for not taking the Uber.
Wow. Well, yeah, because he wasn't
going to have to stop
flushed.
To go to the restroom anymore.
Yeah,
he got it out before it was time to go. Yeah.
Now.
Honesty.
Does Boss Nation need forgiveness for probably a variety of reasons? Boss Nation, that's BOS Nation FC. I didn't get a chance to mention this the other day. It is the newest team in the National Women's Soccer League. They got in trouble during the rollout, which is probably not a good sign. First of all, people hate the name because it's in Boston and it's BOS Nation, Boss Nation. People think it's stupid.
Mm-hmm.
But what was more problematic was their concept for rolling out the team. It's a soccer team, lots of players, and it says we have too many balls. And
all right,
there is a big, passionate LGBTQ+ group that loves the NWSL. And a lot of them felt as though that was a shot against transgendered people or just a general shot, and they did not care for it. So how bad is your start off to if in your launch campaign people are like, you suck. You need to change this. And then the undercurrent has been, and once you apologize, please change the name of the stupid team. Because so they didn't like the campaign, yeah. but then they also don't like the name of the team.
Name of the team and the campaign. That's, yeah, you might want to reboot that one just completely. Just, but you're like, oh my yeah. God, we bought all these t-shirts.
Oh, well.
Yeah. What are we going to do with them? They put out a statement that said, I'll just read you the first part of the statement and you can figure out the rest from there. While we had hoped to create a bold and buzzworthy brand launch campaign, we missed the mark. And then
sometimes it happens.
You know, they go through all of the things and they say, thank you for all who have held us accountable, calling for us to be better. We hear you and we will together. So that's nice.
Dude, hand in hand, kumbaya.
People still think the name of the team is stupid, but just wanted to throw that out there. Now, I have some more serious ones, or I can take you to the Detroit Lions podcast and ask if the Cowboys need forgiveness again.
Go ahead and do that.
All right. This is the Saint Brown podcast.
He's a very outspoken individual, by the way.
Yes, with Equiminius and mm-hmm. Amon-Ra. And so this is with Kirby Joseph, cut number 18. Hey. I'll simplify the question. Hey, how are you going to stop the Cowboys offense?
Hey, Kurt, tell me about the defense. Like, what was the game plan? Y'all was strapping them boys.
Bro, the game plan really, it was really just like, you know, just take 88 away. Like, we know he's right. A playmaker. So, like, once we take him out the game, like, we wasn't really worried about nobody else.
All they know is the number. That's what I'm telling you.
Mike has a point. Just change jerseys.
If you're listening, Cowboys, just put CeeDee Lamb in another jersey.
You know, they went on to say in that same clip, because people were like, oh, what an incredible play. Dak, it's unfortunate, but that was just a heck of a play. And they talked about it. They're like, no, he just baited Dak on that end zone interception.
It was something they were looking for the whole time.
He was like, I knew exactly what I was doing, but that's not what you want to hear, right? If we can literally take one person out of the offense, we're good.
No, and we've been discussing this all year. Leading into the season, we were like, who else? Fingers crossed Brandon Cooks can grow from last year. Well, guess what? Fingers crossed that Jake Ferguson can take another step. He got injured early, and since then, it hasn't been this, you know, a great number two to it. There's no running back. We all knew the same thing.
Yeah.
There's no running back here. The only thing they have offensively is Dak and CD, and that's not functioning. So, yeah, it's a big problem.
And I wanted to throw this out there. I guess our fan text, once again, needs forgiveness for being too sensitive. From the 903, okay, what are the words to make it where I get the message about not getting any more texts from Carol? If you put some variation, especially towards the end of like stop or no.
Hey Siri.
Yeah, and then it will frequently be like, thank you. You will no longer receive. You can still text in. Like, you're still good to go. You just got to be careful.
Kevin, there's a shout-out request here.
Oh, great.
Because we haven't really done, like, asked for them today.
That's true.
Hey, y'all, can I get a shout-out for my kindergartner, Elliot? She is winning an award at her elementary school today. Her mom and dad are super proud of her.
Awesome. Also, from the 469, can I get a shout-out for my wife getting into nursing school?
Oh, I love nurses.
What?
Dude, every time we go up to Cleveland, the nurses are fantastic with Lucy. They listen to this. She had to spend two nights in, you know, EEG, like being studied and everything. When she got there, they asked her, hey, what do you like from Starbucks? And she just told them.
Oh, that's
and then when
nice.
She got up to the room, they had that prepared. They had it there for her.
Wow.
That's how awesome those nurses are awesome.
That is pretty incredible. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, more of your shout-outs on Shout-Out Friday. But also, it's time for Gridiron Gravy. Does this mean the 49ers and Vikings are pretty much locks to win on Sunday? Let's do it next right here on The Fan.
Darnold getting messy, going deep, and he's got Jefferson. He's got Jefferson. It's a foot race downfield with Brown shifting gears, getting a block. That's six.
THC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now, it's time to go. These commercial breaks are so ridiculous if you're in the studio. Not the commercial breaks themselves, just in this studio. The conversations that take place are patently absurd.
I as much as Mike can be frustrating at times, I love working with Mike. I really do enjoy working with him.
I took your advice.
Please don't tell that story right now. Hold on, not right now. We need to go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy. I don't know if it's with Koechner or if you have time and Mike likes it to carve out a space to talk about your responses to political texts. I think that that would be very amusing.
I like an organic vegetable.
That's true. All right, let's start with Malik Nabers. Malik Nabers did, in fact, clear concussion protocol and is set to return against the Eagles. Now, speaking of Eagles, transition, Ian and Noah Eagle will headline the Netflix Christmas Day NFL doubleheader. There had been a lot of discussion about who was going to call these games. So Noah Eagle,
who we had on the show,
that is in fact correct. Noah Eagle will do the late matchup with Greg Olsen, and that will be the Ravens and the Texans. The earlier game, Steelers and Chiefs, will be Ian Eagle along with Nate Burleson and J.J. Watt.
Kevin, we asked Noah to say a few phrases in his broadcast. Were you listening? I was so involved in the game that I didn't think
Forgiveness
about it.
Forgiveness Friday. I forgot.
I did too.
To double check on that.
Speaking of J.J. Watt, I got something for you.
Oh,
have you guys seen the new Tastes Great, Less Filling commercials?
Yes, yeah. Actually I have.
I can't stop laughing.
At his mustache or?
No. Every time the dude from here, what's his name? That's the main actor.
It's both.
Yeah.
And Luke Wilson. In the background screams, it's both. It's both. That one gets me every time. Every time I watch it, I'm like, this is a great commercial that the guy who's the bartender slash at the game, and they're like, tastes great, less filling. He's like, it's both. It's both. And then the guy goes insane. That is the best commercial going right now. Can we find that?
I'm sure Alec is probably already working on it. For the 2-1, can I get a shout out? My wife and I got married this past Saturday. Love you, Nicole. That's from Jonathan. Congratulations to you guys. That is absolutely outstanding. Now, I got a couple of different things I'm going to throw out for you. Does this mean the 49ers and Vikings are pretty much locks to win on Sunday? You're already saying yes.
9-0.
They play Cleveland or Carolina?
No, they're playing really good opponents. These are probably the two most marquee games of the weekend. So let's start with the Vikings. First five games of the season, the last 40 years, the Vikings have led for 4 hours, 25 minutes, and 12 seconds. That is the second most in the last 40 years.
Wow.
The only one they're behind is the 1998 Broncos, who won the Super Bowl. They're just ahead of the 1999 Rams, who won the Super Bowl. The 5-0 Vikings are playing against the Lions at home after having a bye in week 6. Teams that are undefeated, playing at home, and coming off a bye are 9-0 all time. And in those games, they've won by an average of 19.8 points.
So you think that they're locked to win?
History says yes. I don't feel that way. I don't think either one of these games are a lock, but I'll throw it out to, I said the 49ers, I meant the Chiefs, I'm sorry. I'll throw it out to why the Chiefs look like there's strong history behind them winning this game as well. For the Chiefs, they are 5-0 this season. In the last 20 years, they're only the fifth reigning champion to start off 5-0. They've joined the 1990 49ers as only the second NFL team to start 5-0 after winning back-to-back Super Bowls. And then there's Patrick Mahomes. As an underdog, straight up in the game, he's 10-3. That is the best record for a quarterback as an underdog. And you go into this game, and obviously point spreads are close. There's just a lot of steam behind the Chiefs and the Vikings. And then you add the fact that Andy Reid following a bye week is 21-4. Wow. And that's the best in NFL history.
He's amazing, dude.
And so
I would rather bet, though, on the Vikings over the Chiefs this week.
Okay, tell me why.
Because I do think the Hutchinson injury is not as devastating because you had two major injuries, but it's almost as devastating as losing Micah Parsons.
Yeah.
I think that the Vikings now are going to not get pressured. Sam Darnold will have more time. They won't. Right now, like when you're going against Aiden Hutchinson, Micah Parsons, TJ Watt, you are spending as an offensive coordinator and an offensive line coach, you are spending the majority of your time figuring out how are we going to make this work with that guy against us on the field. And now when you go up against Detroit, I'm not saying they're bad as a defense, but I'm saying now you don't have to worry about an individual on their defensive line. You can now mark another guy, but not like Aiden Hutchinson.
Fun fact for you, unless you're Bryce Young, did you know that with the win last night, Bo Nix, Jaden Daniels, and Caleb Williams all have 4 career starting NFL wins, and Bryce Young has 2?
Nice. Good for him, man.
Is it?
Hey, getting a win in the NFL is hard.
It's true.
I've been told.
That is a very good point.
There's a rapper who also started off his first name with 2.
Pac.
Short.
Okay.
Too short.
Too short.
So we talked about this yesterday. Rashid Shaheed will, in fact, miss the rest of the season. He's going to be put on injured reserve. They thought that that was probably going to happen. But now the report is from ESPN that he is going to miss the rest of the season.
And I mean, that takes away a huge weapon for them offensively.
And they're spiraling as is.
Yeah, Olave, I'm not sure exactly where they stand on him right now, but he was out this week. So their offense already, you know, in a calamity, if you will. And losing that's not going to help out.
I'm going to give this a shot, Mike. I don't know if this is going to be successful. I'm going to try to make an excuse for Trevor Lawrence. All
impossible
right?
Impossible at this
okay.
point. He's horrible.
In the last Jags game, you had 4 touchdown passes that got dropped. 4 potential touchdown passes that got dropped. So, Michael DeRocco did the research. Since 2021, Patrick Mahomes receivers have dropped 92 passes. That's the second most in the NFL, behind only Trevor Lawrence, whose receivers have dropped 113 passes.
21 more?
21 more. That's right. Is there any chance?
Duncanville High School.
He doesn't throw a catchable ball.
UTA.
That Trevor Lawrence deserves a little bit of a break because his receivers continually drop passes.
I guess so, but
it doesn't.
Mike, you say this frequently, whenever guys throw lots of interceptions, they throw a catchable ball. Obviously, Trevor Lawrence doesn't throw a catchable ball.
Yeah, he doesn't throw a catchable ball.
It's not like he's
just overthrown.
They're
qualified as drops because they should have caught it.
Yeah, but well.
The most uncatchable ball, though, in the history of my lifetime was watching Peyton Manning.
That duck that he'd throw out there.
And yet, Marvin Harrison and Reggie Wayne and Dallas Clark and Edgerrin James all caught it. I was like, it's not like a tight spiral. Like, one of the best is probably like Troy Aikman.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you just, that thing was tight and it was usually it was in the area that you wanted it to be and it was on time. And then you watch Peyton Manning and you're just like, it's just flopping around, but it gets there.
Bro, it sounds like you just put together 2 different like dating profiles
that was
right
glorious,
there.
Mike. That was glorious.
Not to kick a man while he's 2 down, but let's talk about Deshaun Watson.
All right.
Total EPA on dropbacks in the first 6 weeks of the season. The worst we've seen since they started keeping track of this was Jamarcus Russell, who is at a minus 63.8 in 6 weeks in 2009.
That's because they won't allow you to throw from your knees in the
NFL.
That
is true. Deshaun Watson is at a minus 66.2. So he's even having a worse start to the season than Jamarcus Russell did in 2009 and the worst start to a season since 2000.
I don't think it matters about his contract, but they have to get rid of him, right? Like they have
I agree.
To, like, even if they can't get rid of him, you have to go to another quarterback next year.
Yes.
And I just, what are they waiting on? It's proven last year and this year. It's proven. Deshaun Watson, hey, I make fun of Trevor Lawrence. I would rather have I'll ask you guys this.
Hell yeah. I would rather have Trevor Lawrence than Deshaun Watson.
Now, they're from the same school, and both did great in their at their school. But, I mean, Deshaun Watson arguably is the worst. Like, worse than Aiden O'Connell. Yes. Worse than backup quarterback. So, what are they waiting on to just try different guys out?
I have no idea.
Joe Flacco is better, right?
Yes, I agree with that. And now you see in Indianapolis, he's probably doing better as well. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we invented this concept a week or two ago. Let's see how it works. Let's revisit last night and the specific moments for you where sports went the hardest. We'll do it next right here on The Fan.